بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بالنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، after the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And we're still in a series of etiquettes. The Muslims and the Islamic etiquettes on all the different aspects in life. And for tonight, inshallah, to speak about the etiquette of visiting the ill or the sick. The sickness or illness is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created and put on mankind. Allah azza wa jal, from my wisdom, from behind it, could be a lot of wisdoms from behind why mankind get sick or ill with different types of illness or sickness. Sometimes the illness is minor, sometimes it's major. Sometimes it could be cured, sometimes not. And one of the main things that the scholars speak out from the wisdom from behind the illness is a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the servant of Allah that he is a weak servant, a weak creation of Allah Almighty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty, with a simple thing, maybe a simple bacteria, could destroy that massive size human being. Subhanallah, sometimes a bacteria that you can't even see will make that human being collapse. And that's why sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, نَعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونُ بِهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ الصَّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. Two bounties from Allah, of the bounties that Allah Azza wa Jalla created for the human being. Two of those bounties all human beings are tricked with. And then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's health and time. Health is a great bounty from Allah Azza wa Jalla. With health, you could do a lot of things. You could do the millions of things. With no health, sometimes you can't even do nothing, anything. Sometimes you can't even grab a cup of water. Sometimes with illness, you can't even get a toilet. So subhanallah, how Allah Azza wa Jal created this health and the great bounty from this health, and people don't realize the great bounty from behind health until they really lose that health. Until you really lose that health, you'll value your health and really understand the great ni'mah from behind health. And that's why it's a ni'mah that a lot of people are tricked with. That are tricked with health, that one day they are so healthy and so strong, the next day they're extremely unhealthy and weak. For the ni'mah of health, the ni'mah of health. And sickness, illness is a reminder from Allah Azza wa Jalla to the servant of Allah to remind him how weak he is. And he's just a creation of Allah that will go back to Allah. And every creation of Allah will get ill except the creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that creates illness and the one that Allah Azza wa Jal, wherever he wants his illness to be on any of his creation. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked by the companions, should we, if we get ill, take medication or seek medication? So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tadawa ibadallah. All the servants of Allah seek medication for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he made a cure for every illness except death. So there is a cure for every illness, every single illness, even those illness that exist at this time, there's no cure to them. There is a cure to them, but this cure has not been found yet. Because sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's a cure for every illness except death. And it also says about the habbat al-barakah, habbat al-sawda, the black seed. It's a cure for every disease except death. Death, if you want to categorize death as an illness or sickness, then it's an illness and sickness, but an illness and sickness forever. Something that you'd never come back or try and fix, or try something that you can't get cure from, which is death. So by Islam, if someone gets ill or someone is unhealthy, he is recommended by Allah and His Prophet to seek medication and not to be that type of person that says, I just rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. The adab, the etiquettes, the respect, the man, the respect, the worship they give to Allah Azza wa Jal by relying on Him is to take the means, to follow the means. It's not just I rely on Allah and expect things to come to me. No, you rely on Allah and you go forward to get things. You rely on Allah Azza wa Jal and you move to get things. You rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you put the effort to get things or to make things or to keep away from things. As the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, saw a group of people sitting down in the mosque. And he asked, who were they? So they said, نَحْنُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. We are those ones that rely on Allah. So we don't work, we don't earn living. We just rely on Allah and rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla to bring our living and to bring our food and to bring our sustenance to us. So Umar al-Khattab said, بَلْ أَنْتُمُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. You are those ones who rely on yourselves. Go outside, for the heavens do not rain gold or silver. Go outside and earn your living. The way the Prophet ﷺ is to earn his living and the rest of the prophets and messengers. So relying on Allah Azza wa Jal is not just relying on Allah and sitting down and not doing anything. It's to rely on Allah first of all and to seek and take by the means. It's been narrated about Musa alayhi salam that he was ill one day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to go and to get cure from a certain plant in a certain place in the desert. So Musa alayhi salam went to that place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him and picked that plant and ate that plant, and Allah azza wa jalla gave him cure. Once again, after a while, that disease came back or that illness came back to Musa alayhi salam. So he ran to that plant and he ate that plant, but nothing happened to him. He stayed the way he is, even worse. So he asked Allah, Allah, I ate this before after you've told me, and I received cure. But now, things became worse. So Allah Azza wa Jalla replied back to him, the first time you relied on me, and then I told you where to get it from, but this time you straight away when I relied on the plant. So you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a Muslim, we rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla in all things. In every aspect in our life, we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the 70,000 that entered the paradise with no question asked, that are those ones who rely on Allah Azza wa Jal and do not have any despair, or that don't have bad hopes about anything. They rely on Allah Azza wa Jal and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. But once again, relying on Allah is to rely on Allah first of all and to take by the means. And that's why sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the companions to take by the means. To take by the means. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was a man that when he used to get ill, he used to go and seek medication. He used to seek medication. Of course, their medication is not as advanced as it is these days. But sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call for the most qualified and experienced doctor or tabib, or the most experienced person in medication, in medicine, and he used to call him and he used to check the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was sick and ill for so many times. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's illness is twice as the illness of an average person. That once Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu walked into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam suffering from the pain. Suffering from the pain of fever. So he told him, a Prophet of Allah, like, you look, you're in severe pain. Like, he was amazed from the scene that he saw in the face of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He told him, a Prophet of Allah, innaka tu'aku wa'akan shadidan. You have a severe pain that's appearing on your face. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, my pain is twice as the pain of you. My pain is the twice as pain of you. That's the Prophet alayhi sallam. Because his rewards is twice. So his patience has got to be twice. And his test is twice. So it's not just like that. It's all sacrifice. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned as being a right of a Muslim ever and another Muslim is to visit him when he's ill. Visiting the ill is something respected in Islam and something that Islam encouraged for. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam called and encouraged for when a Muslim is ill to visit him. That he made it a right. That this right will be asked from you by Allah Azza wa Jalla in the hereafter. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah will bring the servant in the hereafter. I want to ask him, oh my servant, I was ill. Allah will say, I was ill and he did not visit me. So the servant of Allah will be amazed and say, oh Allah, you were ill and you are the Lord of this universe. How could you be ill? So Allah Azza wa Jalla told him, one of my servants was ill and he didn't visit him. One of my servants was ill and he didn't visit him. See, it's a right of a Muslim over a Muslim that this Muslim has the rights to ask you for it in this world and has the rights to ask you for it in the hereafter. Of course, with no punishment. There is no punishment from behind it. No, there is a sin. There's no sin or punishment, but it's a right. A respected right of a Muslim over a Muslim that Allah Azza wa Jal himself will ask for that right in the hereafter. And will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my servant, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. So I'll say, O Allah, how can I feed you? And you are the Lord of this universe. So I'll say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O my servant, one of my servants was hungry and he didn't feed him. And O my servant, I was thirsty and he didn't give me water. So who's the servant of Allah will say, O Allah, and how could you be thirsty and on need of water when you are the Lord of this universe? So Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, one of my servants was thirsty and was in need of water and he did not give it to him. So it's a right, haqqul muslimi ala al muslim, the right of a Muslim over a Muslim is to visit him when he's ill and to reply the salam back to them when they give you salam and to follow their janazah when they die and to say yarhamukallah tashmit al-atas when they sneeze and to reply to their invitation if they invite you to a respected or lawful cause. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also says, visit the dead. Visit the dead and help to free the prisoners. Visit the dead and help to free the prisoners. And he also says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that any Muslim visits another Muslim who's ill, any Muslim that visits a Muslim that's sick or ill, the angels will call and say, طِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا طِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ طِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ. May Allah make you happy and make your walking happy or make it pious or make it good. And may Allah give you a position in the paradise. What a beautiful dua from the angels. طِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا. May Allah Azza wa Jal make you good and make your path that you're walking on good, and may Allah give you a position in the paradise. A dua from the angels. And what's even more better, the dua from the ill himself, from the Muslim that's sick, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Allah does not reject the supplication and the dua of the person that's sick. When someone is ill and is sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withdraws all the barriers between him and his servant for his servant to ask Allah with no barriers. Allah does not reject the dua of the ill. And that's why it's the sunnah to visit the ill. First of all, to ask about him. And then when you visit him to show him happiness and make him feel comfortable, to share the comfort with him. Because when someone is ill, he's so... Most of people, when they're sick, they're depressed, unhappy, uncomfortable. So it's your job to compensate them with that. Give them that comfort. Try and give them that happiness. Try and give them that relaxing day after. And that's why visiting the ill is a reward and great reward. That another hadith, 70,000 angels will pray on someone that visits an ill if you visit them during the day till the evening. And 70,000 angels will pray on the one that visits the ill if he visits him in the evening all the way till day or morning. 70,000 angels praying and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive that person that visits the ill. How rewarding is that? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to visit the ill. Muslim and non-Muslim. Muslim and non-Muslim. He'll visit the companions when they're ill. He visited Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the one who spoke about him, not this Monday, last Monday. And Sa'd ibn Waqqas said, "O Prophet, Allah have a lot of wealth. Should I give that all for the sake of Allah after my death?" So the Prophet ﷺ said no. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, half of it." The Prophet ﷺ said no. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, 2/3 of it." The Prophet ﷺ said no. Half of it, no. A third. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Third wa thuluthu kathiran," it's even too much. For you to leave your family rich, having enough money to rely on themselves, better for you to leave them asking people. For you to leave your family rich, dependent on themselves, better for you to leave them after your death asking people. And he also visited the Jewish kid. They used to serve the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he visited them in his house. And he stood over his head and he told him, "Oh son, say La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah." So the father of that Jewish man looked at his son and his son looked at him. So he said, "Ata Abu al-Qasim. Oh dad, Abai, Abu al-Qasim," which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the kid said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked out happy with a smile and he said, "Alhamdulillah that Allah gave me the opportunity to save someone from the hellfire." So visiting the ill is something noble, righteous, respected in Islam, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged for, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam describes the illness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every hardship and everything that a Muslim go through with patience, and even the spike that a Muslim gets spiked with, it's a forgiveness for him. So that illness, that sickness that people go through, it's a forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to forgive his servants. So he tests them. He makes them go through a test by being ill, by being sick. So Allah forgives their sins. Forgives their sins so they could wake up after the illness or after the sickness, repenting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going back to Allah. And how many times we see that? But a lot of people after an illness, especially when it's severe and major, they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sunnah that when you visit the ill, is to say what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to say, "La ba'as tahoor insha'Allah." La ba'as, no worries. And it shouldn't be a major. Tahoor, purification, insha'Allah. That's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. La ba'as. Tahoor insha'Allah. So if someone is ill, you say to him, "La ba'as, tahoor insha'Allah." And then you tell him, "Alhamdulillah, as-salama, Allah salmak, salamat," so on, so on, so on. There's nothing wrong with that. But we stick at the beginning by saying, "La ba'as, tahoor insha'Allah." And then say whatever you want to say after. And make the ill or the person, the sick, feel comfortable and relaxed. Make him feel, put their hopes up. Make them put their hopes up, especially in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Ana inda husni dhanni 'abdi bi." I'm according to the thoughts of my servants about me. So whatever good you think about Allah Azza wa Jalla, expect it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think good and have the good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give you recovery from this illness, that you get this health to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and to work for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the sunnah not to stay too long. When someone is ill, depends on their situation. Maybe sometimes they expect, they want company, they're too bored. And sometimes they're not in the mood of having a company. That will make their illness even worse. Because emotions do play a big role in increasing the severeness of this illness or making it less. And one of the doctors told me 70% of cases and 70% of illness, 70% of those all the time, just illusions. people over exaggerate. They feel a small pain, they make it too much of a bigger pain, so they start feeling the imagination as being a big and great pain on them. But sometimes it's the sunnah, as I said, if someone is in company, if someone needs that company to stay with him, and if someone you feel that he's not in the mood of that company, salamu alaykum, and walk off and to make dua for them. One of the ad'i that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make on a sick, wherever the pain is, he'll put his hand and says, Allahumma anta rabban nas, hadin nas, ashfi anta shafi, la shifa illa shifa'u, shifa'u la yugadiru saqama. This is the sunnah that when someone is ill, to put your hand where the pain is and to make this dua, oh Allah, you are the one that gives cure, you are the one that guides people, there's no cure except your cure, no cure only from you, Allah. So you will put your hand and wipe it. And also the sunnah to read Quran, ruqya, as it's been narrated by a lot of the companions did it and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's been narrated a group of companions went to a village and they asked the people of that village to give them hospitality, they rejected. And then during the night, the leader and the master of that village was attacked by a scorpion or attacked by a snake. He was bitten. So they wanted to find a cure, they couldn't. So one of them said, well then we asked as noble people that came to our village. So they went and asked them, is there any cure that you could help us with to help our master or our leader? So one of the companions said, we'll ask you for hospitality, is rejected. We will not do it unless you give us something in return. So they said, we'll give you certain amount of sheep. So that companion went and put his hand where the bitten part is and read Quran on it, the man stood up as like there was nothing with him. We call that in Islam ruqya. We call that in Islam ruqya. And ruqya is only by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Quran Kareem, and the ad'iya that have been narrated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything outside, unacceptable. Anything outside, there's barrier outside the Quran Kareem. Anything outside the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or anything outside the ad'iya the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, that's not acceptable. With the ruqya, there's been a bit of over-exaggeration. With ruqya, where numbers start to come in and weed words or talamis or Allah alam, if they're calling the jinn and asking the jinn instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be aware of ruqya. Ruqya is only the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ad'iyah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like this dua that I had mentioned earlier before. Like this dua, Allahumma rabbin nas, هادي الناس أشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك. And also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned a lot of other ad'iyah. One of the ad'iyah that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you see any ill man or any ill person and he say Bismillah three times and he say a certain dua for seven times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from that illness, protect you from the illness. Allah azza wa jalla will protect you from that illness that this person is in. So the sunnah is you say, La ba's tahur, make dua for the ill and ask the ill to make dua for you, for the dua is not rejected, and to make them feel comfortable. And if you know this, if you know that this ill is not going to be feel comfortable with your presence, then it's better not to visit. And if there's enmity between you and him, and maybe by you visiting him is going to make things better, then go. But if you know it's going to make things worse, then better not. Then better not. And the sunnah is, as I said, not to take too long. And try and put the hopes of that ill person in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if Allah azza wa jal gives cure to this person, thank Allah azza wa jal and get stronger on the deen, because this is just the sign of the weakness of that human being, the sign of the weakness of mankind. And if this person does die, then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him or to forgive her. And the sunnah is that when person is going through the stages of death, to say La ilaha illallah. Not to say to him, say La ilaha illallah. Just around La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. To make the last words that come to his mind or her mind or their tongue is La ilaha illallah. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says La ilaha illallah will enter the paradise. Another hadith, anyone that says or makes the word of La ilaha illallah to be his last words, they'll enter paradise. So this is the sunnah, and the sunnah, if they do die, you cover their eyes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the person dies and the soul is taken, the eyes follows the soul. The eyes follow the soul. So the sunnah is to close the eyes, to close the mouth, to put all the body parts in its place, straighten up, because give it a few minutes or hours, will stiffen up, and then it becomes very hard to move the hand and put it straight if it was like this. So the sunnah to put it like that, and of course to face him towards the qibla way through the, while they're through the ihtidar. And then a sunnah also to read Quran Kareem, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اقرأوا على موتاكم ياسين, to recite it while this person is dying. The scholar said to recite Yasin while this person is dying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.